Thank you for that, dear singers. In this series that is going through the lines of our closing benediction, we come now to the line, strengthen the faint-hearted, one of the things we commit to do. I realized I didn't know exactly what that meant until I sat down with it a couple weeks ago, looked it up, and realized that faint-hearted means faint in courage or resolution, timid, to be faint-hearted. I don't know what I thought. I thought it was just weakness in general. It's quite specific. Which means that we have two lines in our benediction that speak specifically to courage, which actually makes a lot of sense. Krishnamurti suggests that fear is at the bottom of many, many of our troubles. And when you see what he means by fear, you may agree. He takes the exploration of fear in a very different direction. And it's fascinating, deserves a few sermons of its own, just as Krishnamurti devoted many talks to this thought of where fear really comes from in us. How our patterns of thought, how our living in the past and the future makes fear so dominant. But I read the passage I did because it's so good to be reminded that courage, that grand word, and fear, that big scary word, are about very small things often. Little moments of decision. Do I say what I'm thinking? Do I reach out to this person when I'm not sure how they'll respond or if that will be a strange thing to do? Do I pause and consider my own feelings when I'm not sure what they are and where that might take me? Do I do that thing I've been meaning to do, which for some reason I've been avoiding? And all those little moments, that's living. They make up our life. We're accustomed to speaking of physical courage, as if that's the only thing really deserving of the name. And a willingness to suffer pain or even death. But Sanju Pradipa lists eight more, including moral courage, sticking up for what's right, creative courage, following your dreams. One of the most delicate, careful writers I know on that topic, Julia Cameron, talks quite a bit about creativity. And she says that what we call laziness or lack of discipline, oh, I'm not pursuing my creative interest because I just don't have the discipline to practice an instrument for 6 hours a day, or I'm too lazy to sit down and write that novel I've had in my mind. She suggests that actually those are fear. That what we call a lack of discipline is really a fear. What if I practice for 6 hours a day and find out even that doesn't make me very good? And then I'll have to live with a sense of failure that I don't have to live with if I don't try. What if that never sitting down to write isn't laziness, but a fear that when I really dig down to my feelings and memories, there might be something sad or hard there. Says, don't tackle it as laziness or lack of discipline, it's fear. So that's creative courage, is to move past those things. Interpersonal culture, courage, like vulnerability in relationships. I'm thinking of a man I know whose partner, being true to her own needs, facing courageously a gap between their relationship and what she actually needs in life, said something had to change in their relationship. And he is calling on the courage to change if need be, to ask in what way is he living up to the promises that they made to each other? And is there something more he needs to do? Pradipa speaks of spiritual courage as exploring the unknown. And we probably all know people who, or have been people, who felt drawn to a new religion, a new spiritual practice that caused them to doubt, possibly to have to drop things that had been their anchors. That takes a real courage in order to find something new. There's intellectual courage, challenging your own beliefs, right? Don't believe everything you think, as the saying goes. So it's good to remember that that's what courage is as well. It's not just about, or primarily about, physical courage, although, of course, looking at the terrible news from Southern California this week, we've seen many examples of that as well, for which we can be grateful. So where do we get this courage? What do we, when we are faint-hearted, where are we to find strength? And I think that the answer is right there in the word. The word faint-hearted, which is referring to the root of the word courage. Courage comes from the word, the Latin word for heart. We see it in Romance languages, cœur in French and corazón in Spanish, in our language that comes to us as courage, to have heart. So when we are giving each other courage, when we go out and we pledge to strengthen the faint-hearted, we are saying, let us give each other heart. How do we do that? Maybe a reason I was slow on the uptake and thought of it as a kind of synonym for the lines about supporting the weak, helping the suffering, is that just as there's this model of courage being about physical fears and facing physical fears only, we have this really, at least I have in my head, this very sort of macho idea of what it means to give people courage. The sort of the drill sergeant yelling, you know, more, 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 you can do more, you know. And I think we encourage others, encourage them, same word. We give strength to one another in moments of faint-heartedness, not when we berate them like a drill sergeant or chide them or shame them, heaven forbid, but, well, we offer strength. How does one offer strength to somebody's heart? Well, where does our strength come from? Where does our courage come from when it starts to flag? I think very often it is a heart-to-heart matter. I'm thinking of the remarkable courage of a drag queen who is armed with nothing but her high-heel shoes against a whole bunch of fully armed cops and says, "Enough." To a lifetime of police harassment, touching off the Stonewall Rebellion and a nationwide and worldwide movement of liberation of LGBT folks. Where does that strength come from? Why then at that moment? And isn't it, I mean, it's complicated. Many places, many complex sources, but isn't what gives somebody strength in that moment love of their community? Love from their community, yeah, but also love for other people, saying, I don't want anyone to live like this anymore. And that man who's striving to mend his relationship It's love for his wife that's giving him the strength to do what he hadn't been able to do. And even soldiers, you know, there have been countless interviews and studies of soldiers and what makes somebody able to go into a terrifying situation where people are trying with all their might to maim and kill them. And again, people attest it isn't any of the grand things that maybe made them sign up, right? Maybe they love their country, they want to fight for their people, for the freedom, the vow that they take when they become a soldier, but again and again, soldiers say, well, it's to save my buddies. It's the love of the companions right there that makes them do this amazing, terrifying thing when what they want to do with almost every bone of their body is run away. Now, all this is complicated, of course. Sometimes, you know, people have all sorts of motives. Sometimes even fear of something else is what makes us dig down and do something that we didn't think we could do. The military knows this by trying to make it more painful to run away than to stay in the terrifying din of the battle. So you're afraid of a court martial, you're afraid of divorce, and so you work on yourself when your partner says, we need to do something. You're exhausted and terrified of hiding anymore, and so you say, I'm not gonna let the police shut this place down. All those things, absolutely. Courage is complicated. The heart is complicated. But also to sustain that kind of action. And again, in the little ways that we do over and over again in our days, it's a strengthening of the heart which we get from other hearts, from feeling connected to one another. The care of someone else is what will inspire us to do what we didn't think we could do. Krishnamurti says we're always afraid of something. Maybe it's also true that we're always courageous for something or someone. It's instructive to go about your day thinking like Krishnamurti. Where are my fears? Oh, look at that. That was a moment of decision right then, and again, and again. And to recognize that what we might call any other name, anger, I'm angry at my boss, is actually at bottom fear. I can't say, I'm scared to say what I want to my boss, and so now I'm angry. To notice that the reason we keep dragging our feet on making that doctor's appointment is not we're busy, we hate the bureaucracy, we don't have time to stay on hold listening to music, but we're afraid. I'd also encourage you to notice as you go about your day the moments of courage. The moments when you meet those fears. And where does that courage come from? This is what we're here to do. To strengthen the faint-hearted, not outside these walls, although, sure, that's great too, but right here among us, to give each other strength by our connection. By offering our hearts and saying, you know, we are connected. We are all worth risking for and being courageous for and having a strong heart for. So may it be.